From scratch.
Welcome to this week's From Scratch. I'm Martin Cousins, and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
Hi, Nigel. How are you doing this week?
Good. I just flown in from Doha this morning, so I think saying good is a slight exaggeration.
Well, luckily, you may have been on the road or literally in the air. You have had the chance to read an article that we're going to discuss in this week's episode, and it's on resilience. We think it's worth talking about because resilience has been bandied around a lot, especially in HR and L&D and in organisational circles. But I'm not entirely sure it's been used in the right way or it has come to mean something that maybe it isn't. And this particular article, entitled How People Learn to Become Resilient, was run in the New Yorker. Yeah, is it the New Yorker? So, Nigel, what is this article saying to you, do you think, that is worth other people knowing about?
I'm constantly talking about resilience, and not because that's me setting the agenda. People talk to me about it. So that I don't know a single leadership program that doesn't have a section on it called Building Resilience. If you look at John Kotter's 5 new leadership competencies for this age, resilience is number one or number two of his 5. And it's a big deal. And what the article says, which is absolutely true, is because we're suddenly talking about a word we wouldn't have used very much 5 years ago, it's become anything. So resilience is working long hours. Resilience is being tough. Resilience is sticking to things. Resilience is virtually anything that you think someone else will want to hear about you. And in interviews, I would bet you 3/4 of the people you interview, what would you say your strengths are? Oh, I'm very resilient, because that's what everyone expects you to say. But it's losing its meaning. And I think there's actually something very special about resilience that can be developed. You know, I think it's not a case of you're born resilient or you're born not. And the opposite of resilience isn't being a wimp. You know, the opposite of resilience is being slightly defeatist, being more willing to give up, taking the first lot of data at face value. So resilience becomes a kind of approach to the world, which is very, very useful and very, very important. And we shouldn't start to categorize people as naturally resilient or naturally not. We should start saying, we'll assume that everyone could do with being more resilient and help them to be more resilient.
Interesting that Norman Gamzee, he was the guy that did some research around this and really came up with this, the word resilience, when he was looking for children who seemingly came from backgrounds that were disadvantaged enough to people to assume that they just weren't going to do that well in life. But he sought out the ones who did, because he wanted to understand what was going on for them that meant they were able to adapt and have a good life, if you like, a successful life, when it looked like everything was stacked against them. Yeah. And this article points out that a lot of work around resilience in terms of the way it's written about is looking at people who aren't resilient and the causes of that. But his work was all to do with what made these kids resilient. Yeah. And I think what he's saying is kind of what you're saying. It's like there are lots of factors such as trauma and that affect how we respond to things. And he's basically saying that every event in anyone's life can lead to one of two responses. You know, one, it could be damaging, or two, you might have the skills to look at that as a learning experience.
It's very true. You respond to something as either a defeat or an opportunity. And I think it's linked very, very closely to the concept of growth mindset, that we either see the world as kind of fixed and our place in it as fixed, and therefore things that are thrown at us tend to defeat us, or we see the world as full of learning and full of opportunity, and we accept failure as part of our growth. We not embrace failure, but we almost welcome failure as and welcome challenge as a way to learn. So some people seem to cope much better and that you could say they're resilient. The other issue, which is very interesting, is that he refers to someone at Cornell called Bonanno. And Bonanno found that people who were mindful, i.e. had some, not spiritual dimension in the with a capital S, but with a small s, took time out to relax, knew how to de-stress themselves, saw themselves as part of a kind of bigger scheme of things, those people tended to be more resilient than those who saw it was all down to me and let the stress build up and had no way of releasing it and were unable to deal with the first hurdle. And then when the second one came along, it just completely floored them. Whereas there are people who seem to be able to jump hurdles almost continuously. And we know that the world we live in, and we know that work changes so fast. It is like having things thrown at you and you've got to avoid them, duck, sprint. It's almost like a kind of video game where you're running along and someone lobs something at you and you duck, and the next one you jump, and then the next one you push away. It's like that, just keeping going. And each one of those things that we avoid or deal with makes us stronger. So I think this article is really right in saying that you don't just see it as, oh, well, Martin's resilient, Nigel's not. You see it as a fundamental part of development. You owe it to your staff in an organization to help them deal with so much new trauma, new challenge, new endeavors than they would have had to have faced in an organization 20 years ago. So it becomes almost a kind of moral duty that it's, so resilience isn't something you look for, it's something you build. And it's again linked to the concept of grit, that the research that was done on grit by Dweck, and what she found was that some kids were inherently grittier, had staying power and willpower than other kids, and they tended to be more successful. But the next thing is, can you develop grit? And yes, you can. You can help people work their way through, have better ability to deal with things and stick at it longer and come to solutions eventually. So all of this seems to me to be acutely relevant in our age, but it points directly to the power of learning and the need to keep learning right the way through your life. Not just because it's useful, but because it's absolutely essential to surviving.
Nigel, that's fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Martin. Always good to talk. From scratch.